Hi guys, this is Betty Wild from Monsters and Mothers. If this is your first time here to the show, we have recently moved to anchor.com. If you would like to subscribe to all 5 seasons, please click the link in the bio or visit me at monstersandmothers.com. In 2008, it was a case that rocked the nation. It was all anyone could talk about. A mother reports her child missing 31 days after she had last been seen. The media had a field day. What kind of a monster throws a 2-year-old little girl into the woods? Every bit of evidence the prosecution had led you to believe Casey Anthony murdered her child. It was a verdict no one saw coming. Casey Anthony became the most hated woman in America. This is Betty Wild, and you are listening to Monsters and Mothers.
As little girls and boys, we look up at the glowing angel that gave us life with love and adoration. But for too many, this is not a happy reality. For many, the woman holding us is a true monster. These are their nightmares. Delve deep as we unravel the turbulent bonds between mother and child. You are listening to Monsters and Mothers with your host, Betty Wild.
Casey Anthony was born March 16, 1986, in Warren, Ohio. From a young age, Casey Anthony was very energetic and intelligent. In her younger years, Casey's family moved to Orlando, Florida, home of Universal Studios, Disney World, and SeaWorld, the Mecca for children. Casey's mother, Cindy, was a home care nurse, and the relationship between Casey and her mother was great. They went shopping, crafted, went for walks. They were inseparable. Her father, George, was a police officer who she was also very close to. Sure, they had their battle, but what family doesn't? Casey also had an older brother named Lee. It wasn't until her teenage years that Casey became a compulsive liar and began lying about the smallest things, turning it into a true art form. She used to be the innocent girl, the little girl who told her parents everything and had a wonderful personality. Once, in high school, Casey cut everyone off. Even though she lived at home, her family really didn't know much about her. Casey's only priority was Casey. Going out and partying, which involved drugs and alcohol, she had no real friends and the boys she dated came and went very frequently. Though Casey made it nearly impossible for her parents, they still tried to do everything that they could to be involved in her life. Then Casey did something that would trigger a continuous string of shocking lies. When Casey was about to graduate high school, her parents wanted to surprise her with a graduation celebration. They made cards, bought decorations, and invited over some close friends and family. However, when the day before her graduation came and her parents asked about the details of the graduation, Casey could not tell them the time or location and kept tiptoeing around the subject. So they decided to call the school to find out. And the school informed them that her grades were so horrible that she was not going to be allowed to graduate. Her parents were horrified that she let a lie such as this go on so long, even after everything they had planned for her. I mean, they went elaborate. Her relationship at this point with her mother was difficult. The two always argued, and Casey always felt she was never good enough for her mother or anyone at school, and felt that she had to keep up this facade. Instead of trying to complete high school and graduate, Casey ended up dropping out and getting a job at Universal Studios at the Hard Rock Cafe. It was in January of 2005 when Casey met and fell in love with a young man named Jesse Grund. Jesse had sinister good looks, and Casey was obsessed. Her obsession was merely for attention rather than love. Still, she bounced around behind Jesse's back. It wasn't too long after that Casey found herself pregnant. She tells a friend that she doesn't want to keep the baby and that she wants to give the baby up for adoption. It seems as though she wanted to continue her lifestyle without having to care for a child. Months go by. Casey is still living at home and she hasn't told her parents that she is pregnant. She seems to have a knack for keeping pertinent information from them. It wasn't until Casey was 7 months pregnant that Casey finally told her parents that she was with child. Casey was a petite girl and would wear baggy, loose-fitting clothes to hide the pregnancy for as long as she could. She tells her parents that she wanted to put up the baby for adoption, but her parents did not agree or support this idea. Needless to say, they were outraged and forbade her from giving up the baby. On August 9th, 2005, Casey gave birth to a beautiful baby girl that she named Kaylee Marie Anthony. So now we have a child giving birth to a child she didn't want, and then we see that one small window Casey had to bond with her daughter taken from her. Because as soon as Kaylee was born, Casey's mother scooped her up and held her. And she held her for the longest time. This is a crucial moment, and in the recordings, you can even hear Casey's mother saying she regretted ever doing that. Casey was still living with her parents, and they ended up basically taking care of Kaylee. So that moment that she had, that she should have bonded with her child, was taken by her mother, and she didn't have that feeling as though this child was hers. She stated that her boyfriend was the father. However, since she slept with so many people, it was hard to tell who the real father was. Casey told her mother at one point that Kaylee's father was in a terrible car accident and died. Her stories seemed to flip-flop and change often, showing that she was still a compulsive liar. Her family decided it would be a good idea to keep her pregnancy a secret. Her brother found out about it only a couple of days before the birth. On New Year's Eve of 2006, this is 6 months after Kaylee's birth, Jesse, Casey's boyfriend, asked for her hand in marriage, saying he wanted to become a family. Casey said yes, and it had been reported that she was very excited. She hired a nanny named Zanny to watch her daughter. The reason she claimed she hired the nanny is due to her hectic work schedule. When Casey's parents asked about this new nanny, she told them it was the ex-girlfriend of an IT tech named Jeff from Universal Studios. She also mentioned that Jeff was paying for Zanny to watch his son and Casey's kid. Nobody in the family ever recalled seeing or meeting this new nanny for Kaylee. Eventually, a DNA test was done to determine if Jesse was really the father of Kaylee. Due to the speculation from family and friends, it is believed that this DNA test was done because of the peer pressure Casey was enduring about the father of her child. It was found, though, that he was not the father. Absolutely devastated, Jesse tried to still work things out with Casey, but in May of 2006, he broke off their engagement due to Casey's behavior becoming increasingly erratic. After some time, Casey becomes a party animal again and turns back to her wild ways. While Casey is at a party, she meets a man named Tommy, an aspiring DJ. They started dating, and Casey would bring Kaylee over to his apartment that he shared with his roommates. Now we have a young girl dating an aspiring DJ. Any girl of this age, you know, you can't date a DJ, be the belle of the ball, with a child at home. This might be where we can see how Casey comes up with the idea that she needs to be childless and doesn't want to live with the responsibility. According to Casey, on June 15th, 2008, there was an extremely heated argument within the family. The following morning, Casey left with Kaylee for a work trip to Tampa, Florida. She was angry and packed a bag for an extensive trip. Now, it is important to keep in mind that the day that Casey left for Tampa was the last day that baby Kaylee would be seen alive. What was really going on is Casey ending up leaving with Kaylee to her boyfriend's apartment. When she was asked about Kaylee's whereabouts, she would make up excuses saying that she was at a friend's house or with a nanny. Casey ended up staying at her boyfriend's house for a month. Her mother would check in on her often and would ask about Kaylee and how she was doing, asking where she was, and every time she was asked, Casey came up with more excuses. And during this month-long getaway, Casey was partying out more than ever, drinking with her friends almost every single night while her boyfriend DJed. At this time, MySpace was a very popular social media outlet, and she posted pictures of her partying all the time. She also got a tattoo that said Bella Vita, which meant beautiful life. She was doing what most young adults do in their early adulting years, but the question still remained, where was Kaylee? Casey's parents had given her their car to use for work-related things and to make sure she had transportation. One day, she drove down to a bank and only made it on fumes, pulling in just as the car died. She cashes her check and then abandons the vehicle. The people working there let the car sit for a while until eventually they decided it's time for it to be towed. Once towed, the yard calls up George, Casey's father, saying it was impounded. He was very upset and confused and went down to pick up the car. He pays for the car to be released, and the yard worker walks him to the car. George said that when he opened the car door, they could both smell a pungent odor coming from the car. The worker even said that it smelled like a dead body. Now, you have to realize, this is a very distinctive smell. Though I hope none of you ever have to smell a dead body, I guarantee you that if you ever do, you will not forget it. George drives the car home. He and Cindy are understandably very frustrated about it being impounded. He has Cindy come out to smell the car, and she agrees that it smells foul. They pop open the trunk, and they see a bag of trash. Cindy said they didn't open the trash bag, they only threw it away. She then used an entire bottle of Febreze to get the smell out of the car. Now, the parents are furious. Why did she ditch the car? Why did she not say anything about the gas? Where is Kaylee? How is Casey getting around? Cindy tries to get a hold of Casey, but is unsuccessful. So, like any other mother would, she goes looking for her wandering child. She goes down to the boyfriend's apartment and knocks on the door. The roommates let her into the apartment. Cindy sees a lot of drug paraphernalia and also comes across Casey. She asks her where Kaylee is, and Casey once again says she is with her nanny, Zanny. Cindy couldn't take it anymore and demands Casey tell her where she is and that she's going to go pick her up. This makes Casey excessively defensive. Cindy tells her that she is going to come home with her and bring her back to the family home. When they get to the house, she then calls the police and reports that the car was stolen by Casey. She ended up calling on three separate occasions. The first time she said, "I have someone here who I need to be arrested in my home, and I have a possible missing child. I have a three-year-old who has been missing for a month." Cindy is waiting for the police to show up and overhears Casey telling her brother that she met the nanny at the park to give her Kaylee. She said that the nanny held her close, pushing Casey away, saying that she was taking Kaylee away from her and would not be giving her back. Overhearing this, Cindy calls 911 again, saying that she believes a kidnapping has taken place. Cindy demands to speak to an officer and says that she just found out Kaylee has been taken by her nanny. In this call, she says, "I told you my daughter has been missing for a month, and I just found her today, but I can't find my granddaughter. There is something seriously wrong. I found my daughter's car today, and it smells like there's been a dead body in the damn car." Cindy pushes Casey to talk to the police officer. Completely calm, yet irritated, Casey tells her mother she didn't want to talk to the police. After some convincing, Casey talks to the 911 dispatcher, saying that she knows who has her daughter, but that the phone number she had for them is no longer in service, but that she got to speak to her daughter earlier that day and she knows that Casey is okay. Casey told the dispatcher the name of Zanny is Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez. Casey said that she spoke to the nanny on the phone on July 9th and again on July 15th, when she was then allowed by the nanny to speak to her daughter Kaylee. She told her brother Lee that she had been communicating with the nanny via MySpace, where she was receiving instruction on how to get Kaylee back. Zanny told Casey she would get her daughter back on Kaylee's birthday. Casey's mother thought her excuses were absurd, and she couldn't believe that Casey was not concerned for her own daughter's safety. When police arrive, they tell Casey to take them to the last place that she saw her daughter. She takes them to the Shaw Grass Apartments and identifies which apartment belonged to the nanny. She said it was the place that she had last dropped off Kaylee and then proceeded to describe the nanny to police. Casey said that the nanny was 25, 5'7", about 140 pounds, with black hair, perfect skin, and perfect teeth. The strange part about Casey's description is that she describes the nanny as a 10, which is unusual to describe someone after you just claimed they took your child. Now, when I say she described her as a 10, it's kind of like 1 out of 10 in hotness. She goes on to say that the nanny was a co-worker of hers at Universal Studios. The police make their way to the nanny's apartment and knock on her door. When they peek inside the apartment, it seems to be vacant. They go down to the landlord's office and ask for a record of who lived in that apartment. The landlord told police that no one had lived in that apartment since March. The surveillance video of the apartment's parking lot, showing the day which Casey claims was the last time she saw her daughter, never showed the person that she had described.
And not even Casey showed up on the surveillance footage. Police knew that Casey was lying, so they looked into the holes in her story.
So they began to look more into the validity of this web Casey has seemed to have spun. When police looked into her past, they found that she had in fact never worked at Universal Studios, as she had claimed. Police kept their findings hidden from Casey and decided to take her down to Universal Studios
and asked her to take them to her boss.
During this time, she acted as if she was still working there.
Casey strolls past the security desk and straight to the employee entrance.
She seemed confident in herself that she could pull this off until after she had taken them in several circles through the offices, she turns to the officer, telling them
that she doesn't in fact work there.
Casey was arrested on July 16th and charged with neglect of a child, making false statements, and obstruction of justice. Cindy, Casey's mom, sits down with the police and tells them everything about what had happened with her vehicle when Casey was borrowing it. She told them how they came to find the car again after Casey had abandoned it. She also told them about the trash in the trunk, that there was a pizza box with maggots in it. She tried to dismiss the smell as rotting pizza, but the detectives were not buying this and told her that they believed she knew what she was smelling. However, she kept trying to take back her statement that she made in the 911 call and continued to claim that she was smelling a rotting pizza. Police take the car and do a thorough search and investigation of the vehicle.
They brought in a search dog that can pick up the scent of a dead body.
When the dog gets to the trunk, it begins alerting to the dead body scent. Now, this is really important because even though we all know the verdict, that dog is trained. And if that dog is pointing to it, then that dog knows what was in that trunk. Police also see that on the floor of the trunk, there were stains the size of a small body. They remove the carpet from the trunk of the car and test it. Tests confirm that there was evidence of body decomposition on the carpet taken from the trunk. There was also confirmation of chloroform and human hair. They did a test on the hair, which came back saying that the hair was either Cindy, Casey's, or Kaylee's hair. The hair was longer than Casey's, yet it was untreated, unlike Cindy's hair, meaning that the only other option would be that the hair was Kaylee's because of the length and also because there was no color dyes. The hair also had a decomposition band, which is a dark band that appears on the hair when the body is decomposing. Investigators seized the family computer in hopes to find more evidence. When looking through the computer, they found a search history showing that someone had been using the computer to search how to make chloroform. Police asked Cindy about this strange finding on the computer, and she claims that she was searching for chlorophyll on the computer because her dogs had been eating bamboo in the backyard, and she wanted to make sure that it wasn't toxic. And in her search, she claims it brought up the search for chloroform, and she clicked on the search. But you would think, why would she be searching for something so specific? Even in this case, she would more than likely search something like, is bamboo toxic for dogs, and not something so chemically specific. After more digging around, it was found that Cindy was not in the home when the computer search was made, and it was proven that the only person that was home was Casey. So this brings up the question, why was Cindy trying so hard to cover up for Casey? Cindy goes down to the jail to visit Casey, and while she was there, she asked her daughter what Zanny the nanny looked like. Cindy tells Casey that she knows about when the investigator showed her the lineup, that Casey couldn't pick the nanny out of the lineup.
An officer did show Casey photos of Zenaida Gonzalez, but she did not know who she was being shown. A few months later, Zenaida Gonzalez did file a defamation lawsuit against Casey Anthony. Now, a month after her arrest, Casey's parents visit her in jail and inform her that everyone thinks and believes that Kaylee is dead.
In response to this, Casey rolls her eyes and says, surprise, surprise.
Now, to everyone listening and watching, this really disturbed everyone. This really showed her maturity level and her compassion for those who were truly interested in Kaylee's whereabouts. Now, up until this point, Kaylee is still missing, and everyone just wants to know where she is. And this is the response from her own mother.
Casey now hires a lawyer named Jose Angel Baez, who sends a letter to the sheriff's office, and in the letter he talked about Casey's cooperation with law enforcement. Shortly after this, a court judge sets Casey's bail at $500,000. The bail was paid, and the court order was an electronic monitoring device to be worn by Casey. She was then released. The public was in an outrage that Casey had been released and sent home. The media was very interested in Casey's case by this time, and Casey was confronted at her parents' home. There were many altercations outside of Anthony's home. The media was almost constantly on the premises. On August 29th, Casey was again arrested for forged checks. Her parents post a $500,000 bail and bails her out. On December 11th of 2008,
less than a mile from the family home,
a utility meter reader was out working, and about 20 feet from the road, he saw what he thought was a skull. After getting a closer look at it, he realized it was a real human skull. He called 911 and tried to report these findings to the police three different times. Each time he was told someone would come out to the area to investigate, but no investigating had been done. However, this time a team of investigators go out and find the skull with duct tape on it. And nearby, they find a white bag which included the rest of the bones as well as a baby blanket with Winnie the Pooh printing. Immediately, the investigators knew that these were the bones of a child. On December 19th of 2008, the police announced that the DNA testing confirmed that the remains were of Kaylee Anthony. They follow up by getting a warrant for the Anthony family home and discover that Kaylee's room had a Winnie the Pooh theme throughout it. They also found a matching laundry bag to the one they found at the scene. These laundry bags were sold in packs of two. However, the household only had one of the bags still in the home. This made it clear to the investigators that whoever killed Kaylee was not a stranger and would have had access to the home. Casey was then charged with first-degree murder after these findings. Now, we've talked about Cindy, Casey's mother, seemed to cover for her daughter. But Casey's father, George, seemed to be the only person who hinted that he knew it was Casey who murdered his granddaughter. The media would not leave this case or the family alone. And for a long time, as media outlets across the nation followed this case, people began to speculate and become enraged that Casey had gotten away with her daughter's murder for such a long period of time. The family even received death threats. In January of 2009, someone called for the police to do a wellness check on George. Police found that he had moved into a hotel and was using drugs and alcohol, and that he was also not in good mental health state. A suicide note was found written by George on a piece of hotel paper that ended dramatically with, "Kaylee, here I come." On May 24th, 2011, the trials begin. The whole trial was broadcasted on live television. There were a couple of TV stations that no matter where you turned and which dial you turned to, the trial was on. Casey's parents were not allowed in the courtroom because they were considered witnesses in the case.
However, they were eventually allowed in because they were Kaylee's grandparents.
They were also only allowed to be there if they promised to not show any emotion. This made many onlookers irritated when they saw the pair not showing any signs of emotion or sadness
or remorse.
It is clear that Casey's adolescent past of compulsive lying had followed her into adulthood. She lied about the nanny and about her job at Universal Studios. Many people wondered how she could live in these lies for so long. Casey blamed her lying on her father, saying that when she was 8 years old, he began to molest her, and she learned to lie at a young age because of this.
George denied that he ever molested his daughter.
The prosecution presented that Kaylee Anthony killed her daughter by using chloroform to knock her unconscious, then blocked her airways using duct tape. After this, she wrapped Kaylee in her baby blanket and put the body in the trunk. They also said the next day Casey went to her boyfriend's house, took the body out of the car and into the woods and into a trash bag. The defense countered that Cindy was at work while George and Casey were looking for Kaylee. They said they believed George found Kaylee drowned in the pool
and blamed
Casey for her death before helping her to dispose of the body by wrapping it in plastic, which they claim he used to do with their former family pets when they would pass away. Cindy claims that Kaylee must have drowned in the pool while Casey was watching her, causing Casey to become frantic and to try to dispose of the body, but that she didn't realize what she was doing due to the shock of her daughter's death. George believed that Casey was giving Kaylee Xanax, aka Zanny the Nanny, because it would help her sleep, and that the drug would basically babysit Kaylee by making her sleep while Casey would go out and party. He believed that Casey went too far with the amount of Xanax she gave Kaylee and accidentally killed her.
At this time, no one had considered that Zanny, the nanny, was in fact Xanax babysitting Kaylee.
The trial was messy. Casey's team blamed anyone they could to get the spotlight off Casey. It was found that the jurors had been talking about the case outside of the court, which is illegal, and one of them was caught selling information to an online blogger. The trial ended up focusing on hearsay for a long time, and for a while, it turned into a different case of, did George molest Casey? On July 5th, 2011, after 10 hours of deliberation, the jury finds Casey Anthony not guilty. People were livid around the nation that Casey had been found innocent. Casey was still convicted of 4 misdemeanor charges of giving false information to a law enforcement officer. She was sentenced to a year in county jail and $1,000 worth of fines. However, Casey had already served 3 years, so she had a credit of 2 years plus additional credit for good behavior while in prison. So she was promptly released from prison on July 17, 2011.
After the verdict, the jurors' names were released to the public, and then the death threats came and bodily harm to some of the jurors.
It was found after the trial that Casey had filed twice for bankruptcy and was unable to pay her lawyer. Someone from the lawyer's office reported seeing Casey completely naked in his office, and so people began to speculate that she ended up paying her lawyer in sexual favors. Oh, and the Zaneta Gonzalez defamation, that was tossed out by a judge like garbage. In 2017, it was leaked that there was another search on the family's computer for foolproof suffocation. It was also discovered that 48 hours before Casey was arrested, her internet history had been deleted, almost as if Casey or her mother knew that Casey was going to be arrested soon. Casey also did an interview in 2017 saying she remembers waking up the morning of Kaylee's disappearance and saying goodbye to her mom and then going back to sleep. And then when she woke up, Kaylee was missing.
So many stories and still no justice for Kaylee. And there you have it. The case of Kaylee Anthony unsolved and a murderer possibly set free. Let me know your thoughts in the Q&A attached to this episode. And I am Betty Wild, your host, and thank you so much for listening to Monsters and Mothers.
Thank you for listening to Monsters and Mothers. Subscribe to hear more chilling accounts of mothers who commit unspeakable horrors.